Okay, so we've got this Shulman case, Shulman v. Group W Productions, right? And wow, this one is really something.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wild ride.
It is. It all starts with like a seriously scary car accident.
Right.
Riverside County, California, 1990. Picture this.
Oh, I'm all ears.
Car flies off the highway, tumbles down this embankment, lands, get this, upside down.
Oh, no.
Mother and son are trapped inside. It's intense, like, straight out of an action movie or something.
Yeah, I bet. Talk about high stakes. Every second must have felt like an eternity.
Absolutely. The rescuers, they use, the jaws of life to even get them out. It's a crazy scene.
I can only imagine.
But here's where things get really interesting. So there's a news crew there filming the whole rescue.
No way.
Yeah. And not just from the ground either. They're up in the air, the Mercy Air Rescue helicopter, getting all this aerial footage.
Wow. So they're really capturing the whole thing, huh?
Everything.
Yeah.
And to make it even more kind of, I don't know, c complicated, I guess, the flight nurse, the one treating the mother, Ruth Shulman,
Yeah.
she's wearing a microphone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're getting the visuals, right? But they're also getting the audio, her conversations with the nurse, her cries of pain. I mean, everything.
I hadn't thought about it that way. That must have been really distressing for her.
I can't imagine. And get this, at some point she actually says, I don't want to be on TV.
Oh, man.
But it all ends up getting broadcast on this show called On Scene Emergency Response.
Really?
Yeah. So the question this case really tries to tackle is, where do we draw the line? Like, where does the public's right to know, to see what's happening bump up against a person's right to privacy? Especially in a moment of crisis. Yeah.
You're hitting on the core of Shulman v. Group W Productions there. It really boils down to two legal concepts: intrusion and publication of private facts.
Okay, so break those down for us.
Sure. So with intrusion, it's basically asking, did the news crew, did they overstep their bounds by filming and recording everything in that helicopter? Was that okay?
Right.
And then with publication of private facts, it's more about what they actually show. Did they reveal stuff about the Shulmans that, wasn't really newsworthy? Maybe things that could be seen as, highly offensive or embarrassing.
Got it. So, how did this whole thing play out in the courts?
Well, the trial court, the first one to hear the case, they actually sided with Group W, the production company.
Oh, really?
Yep, they leaned on the First Amendment, the one protecting freedom of the press. They said, hey, the news crew was just doing their job covering a newsworthy event.
So, case closed, like a win for the media.
Not quite. It went up on appeal. The Court of Appeal, they said, hold on, this intrusion thing, that's still an issue. They basically said the question of whether filming and recording in the helicopter violated the Shulman's privacy, that needed another look.
Interesting. So up it goes to the California Supreme Court. What did they say?
Well, they came back with a kind of mixed ruling. They agreed with the Court of Appeal, said there was potentially a privacy violation with the whole intrusion thing, but they let stand the dismissal of the other claim, the publication of private facts. They basically said the accident, the rescue, that's all public interest. People have a right to know about that.
So they were trying to, I guess, find a balance between freedom of the press and the right to privacy.
Exactly. It's a tough one for sure. And that's partly why this case is so interesting. It's messy, real life stuff.
Totally. Let's focus on the intrusion part for a minute, since that's where the California Supreme Court said there might be a problem.
Huh.
What were the arguments there?
Well, the court did something kind of interesting. They made a distinction between the accident scene itself, which was out in the open, public, and the helicopter.
Okay.
They argued that the helicopter, even though it's hovering over this public accident, could actually be seen as a private space.
So even though the accident was in public, the helicopter was a different story. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. How do they justify that?
Well, think about it this way. You wouldn't really expect to have your privacy violated in an ambulance, right? Or a hospital room.
Right.
Those are considered private spaces, even if you were injured in a public place. The court was basically suggesting that the helicopter, where Ruth Shulman was getting medical attention, could be seen as like an extension of those private spaces.
So they're saying even though the accident happened in public, her right to privacy could extend to the medical care she got afterward.
Exactly. And that was a big deal. It set a precedent for thinking about these spaces, like helicopters used for medical treatment, as extensions of private spaces, even if they're technically in public airspace.
I see. That really adds another layer of complexity to this whole thing. And on top of that, They also brought up the fact that the nurse was wearing a mic, right?
Yep.
So their conversation, which should be confidential between, you know, a patient and a medical professional, that was recorded without Ruth Shulman knowing. That's got to be a big factor, right?
Huge. It really added to the whole highly offensive nature of the situation. The fact that they might have captured private medical info without consent, that really weighed heavily on the court's decision.
It's interesting to think how courts today would handle something like this. I mean, we've got drones now, body cameras. It feels like the lines are even blurrier today.
You're not wrong. This case really opened up a whole new can of worms, legally and ethically.
Yeah, for sure. But let's stick with Shulman for now. We've talked about the majority opinion, which leaned toward protecting privacy in the helicopter. But what about the dissenting opinions? Were there any judges who felt differently?
Absolutely. Some of the justices had completely different ideas about where that line should be drawn.
Okay, let's hear it. What did they have to say?
Yeah, so Justice Chin, for example, he was pretty vocal about his disagreement. He didn't buy the whole intrusion thing with the helicopter. He basically saw it as the same as filming from the ground, which, you know, everyone agreed was okay.
So he didn't really see the helicopter as like an extension of a private space the way the majority did.
Nope. He felt like as long as the news crew was a safe distance away and not like interfering with the rescue, they were in the clear. His view was more about protecting the press's right to cover newsworthy events, you know? Kind of like if you can film it from the ground, why not from the air?
Okay, so we've got that side of things. But what about the publication of private facts claim? Didn't the California Supreme Court rule in favor of Group W on that one?
Yeah, they did. If you recall, they basically said that the accident and rescue were, you know, matters of public interest. That outweighed the Shulman's privacy concerns in their view.
So they were saying that the public has a right to see how these emergency situations play out, even if it means, like, broadcasting some personal detail.
That was the gist of it, yeah. But not everyone on the court was on board with that. There were some pretty strong dissenting opinions about it.
Oh, I bet. What did those justices argue?
Well, Justice Brown, he was especially critical. He felt like the majority was, like, totally abandoning the traditional three-part test that courts usually use to figure out if something is newsworthy or not.
Hold on. Can we rewind for a sec?
Yeah.
What is this three-part test? I need a refresher.
Sure. No problem. So basically, the test looks at three things. First, you ask, is there social value in the information being published? Like, does it benefit the public to know this?
Okay.
Then second, how deeply does it intrude on someone's private life? You know, is it just some minor details or is it something deeply personal, but potentially embarrassing?
Right.
And then third, you look at the status of the person involved. Are they a public figure? Because they might have a lower expectation of privacy. Or are they just a regular person who's suddenly in the spotlight, you know, without wanting to be?
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how did this test apply to the Shulman case?
Well, in this case, the majority basically said, look, showing the public how emergency responders work, that's important. That has social value. And they felt like that was enough to outweigh the privacy concerns.
Hmm.
But Justice Brown, he argued that they were putting too much weight on that one factor, the social value, and kind of ignoring the other parts of the test.
Yeah.
He felt like the intrusion was actually pretty significant, you know, broadcasting Ruth Shulman's distress, those conversations with the nurse. And remember, the Shulmans, they were just regular people. They didn't ask for any of this.
So he was basically saying that the court was giving the media a free pass to broadcast pretty much anything as long as they could call it newsworthy.
Yeah, that was his worry. He was concerned that this could, like, erode privacy protections and that the media could just justify broadcasting all sorts of private stuff just by claiming it was in the public interest.
That sounds like a slippery slope. I mean, if we just accept everything as newsworthy, where does it end?
Exactly. And you have to remember, this case happened before, you know, reality TV exploded, before social media. The lines between news and entertainment are way blurrier now. So Justice Brown's concerns, they're even more relevant today.
It's like he was ahead of his time.
Totally. Makes you wonder what he'd think about the way we consume media now.
I know, right? So we've got this disagreement between the justices, even those who agreed the accident and rescue were newsworthy. Were there any other, like, notable opinions on that?
Yeah, actually, Justice Kinnear, she also had some reservations. She agreed that the accident was newsworthy, but she was worried about how the majority's approach would play out in other cases, you know, cases where it wasn't so clear-cut whether something was newsworthy or not.
So even though she sided with the majority, she was still a little bit cautious about the potential impact on privacy in future cases.
Yeah, she was basically waving a red flag, reminding everyone that this wasn't just about the Shulmans, it was about setting a precedent that could affect anyone who might find themselves in a similar situation.
So even within the court, there were different levels of, like, comfort with how far the media could go. It seems like a really complicated issue with no easy answers.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes Shulman v. Group W so important. It forces us to really grapple with these tough questions, you know, about freedom of the press versus individual privacy. And those questions are only getting more complex in today's world.
Yeah, it's a case that really makes you think, like, where would you draw the line? If you were Ruth Shulman, how would you feel? If you were a journalist, how would you approach a story like this? It really challenges you to examine your own values and beliefs.
You hit the nail on the head. It's not just a legal case. It's a human story with real emotional weight. And it raises questions that we all need to think about.
Speaking of that human side of things, we know Ruth Shulman was obviously distressed by the news crew and the broadcast. Do we know anything about, like, the long-term impact of this whole experience on her life?
That's a great question. And honestly, it's one that doesn't really get answered in the legal documents. The court records don't really delve into the personal impact on her.
It's easy to get caught up in the legal arguments and forget that there are real people at the heart of all of this. Like, you know, did this experience leave her with any emotional scars? Especially since she was already going through such a traumatic event.
Totally. To have your most vulnerable moment, your pain and fear, broadcast for the world to see, it's hard to imagine anyone just shaking that off.
It also makes me wonder about the impact on public trust in emergency responders. You know, if people are worried about being filmed and having their experiences broadcast, they might be less likely to call for help when they need it.
That's a really important point. The case really highlights how media intrusion can potentially discourage people from trusting those who are supposed to help them in their most vulnerable moments. It's a delicate balance for sure.
It seems like the court's decision in favor of the news crew could have had some unintended consequences that go way beyond this one case. It's a reminder that these legal rulings, they don't exist in a vacuum. They can have ripple effects throughout society that we might not anticipate.
Could you agree more? Shulman v. Group W Productions, it just keeps unfolding. You know, the more you dig into it, the more complex and thought-provoking it gets.
I'm completely hooked. Let's move on to the final part of our deep dive and see what other insights we can find. Welcome back. You know, we've been really digging into this Shulman v. Group W Productions case, right? It's got it all. You know, the tragic accident, the news crew pushing those limits, and the court trying to figure out where that line is between, you know, the freedom of the press and a person's right to privacy. But what really gets me is how this case, from all the way back in 1998, still has so much to say about the world we live in now.
Right. It really makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, the media landscape has changed so much since then, but all those core issues, you know, like consent, privacy, the power of images, they haven't gone away. They're probably even more relevant now.
It's true. It's like Shulman v. Group W was a glimpse into the future. Back then, it was a news crew in a helicopter. Now it's anyone with a cell phone. Right?
Yeah.
Someone's having their worst moment, and boom, it's broadcast to the whole world.
It's crazy how technology has just magnified all these issues. I bet the court in 98 couldn't have even imagined it. But you know what? The case, it still gives us a way to think about these ethical and legal questions, a place to start.
So where do we go from here? Like, what can we learn from Shulman to help us deal with this whole new media world? What did they get right?
Well, one big thing is informed consent. Like, before you film anyone, especially in a tough situation, you got to get their permission. And I mean real permission, you know, not forced or pressured.
It's about respect, right? Okay. Respecting people's control over their own story. You can't just assume that if it's happening in public, it's okay to film and share.
Exactly. And even if you do get consent, you still have to think about the potential harm. Like, what's going to happen to this person down the road? Will sharing their story cause more pain? Is the public's right to know really worth exploiting someone who's already vulnerable?
Tough questions. And Shulman also shows us how important it is to be smart media consumers. We can't just sit back and take everything at face value. We've got to question the info, think about the source, watch out for bias, you know.
Media literacy is so important now. We need to understand how all this stuff works, how producers use images and sound and editing to tell a story to get us feeling a certain way. We got to ask ourselves, who's getting heard? Who's being left out? Who's winning in all of this?
That's powerful stuff. And it applies to everything, right? News, social media, even just talking with friends about stuff we see online. Shulman v. Group W is a reminder that we all have a responsibility to be thoughtful, to be ethical in how we use and interact with media.
Absolutely. Our choices matter. What we consume, what we create, what we share. It all have an impact. We're not just watching, we're part of it. We're shaping the media landscape.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one big takeaway you hope sticks with our listeners? What's that nugget of wisdom they can carry with them?
For me, it's this. Tech changes, right? But those core principles, ethics, responsibility, those stay the same. Whether you're a journalist, someone on social media, or just someone with a phone, you gotta think about the impact of what you do. Use your voice, use your lens, but do it with respect. Respect for people's dignity and their right to privacy.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And on that note, that brings us to the end of our exploration of Shulman v. Group W Productions. We hope this deep dive has given you some new insights and maybe got you thinking about the relationship between freedom of the press, individual privacy, and all those ethical challenges we face in this constantly evolving world of media. Thanks for being here.